Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith, produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, Archdiocese of Detroit. Our pastor is Father Joseph Gambala, our technical crew is Zach Murphy and Ursula Kraus, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is about the life of Boniface. But as in all things, let us first begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, you gave us your Son to bring your word into our world. Open our hearts that your will might enter into us and motivate us to share what we learn with a world struggling for meaning. Holy Spirit, guide us in our studies and lead us to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, Winfred, who we will later call Boniface, was born about the year 675. In a small city or village near a small monastery near the city of Exeter, or where the city of Exeter currently stands. And that was at that time in the kingdom of Wessex, which is a southern part of England. Well, against the objections of his father, Winifred was greatly attracted to the monastery life, and some legends say that he entered at age 5, others at age 7, but in any event, he entered the monastery when he's very young, and he gave himself over completely to the faith. Now, Christianity first came to England with the Roman Empire. England was called Britain. That was the name of the Roman province. And so in the latter years after Constantine, the empire became more Christian, and so Christians were found in England. But around the year, after the year 400 or so, the Roman Empire left England and started to pull back. And when it did, then there was no longer Roman armies to protect the island, and Angles, Saxons, Jutes, and other Germanic tribes started to invade. And they didn't just invade, they stayed. They came and they began to settle and take over the land. Now, ironically, Christians in Ireland, which had never been part of the Roman Empire, but the missionaries had gotten all the way to Ireland, had created Irish monks, and they reestablished Christianity in England through missionary ventures. And then in turn, some English monks began to extend the missionary ventures back into Germanic Europe as they converted the Angles and Saxons and others to Christianity. So this map gives us a pretty good idea of what was going on. You see in the south, we have Rome and the Church of Rome, and it has strong influence in the Italian peninsula and up in the region of Savoy. But over in Spain, we see that there are Visigoths in control, and they are Arians. They're heretical Christians. There's Arians to the east as well. And then to the north, we have pagans who are either Germanic or Nordic in terms of a whole grouping of gods for everything that existed. And then we see the nations that are there. We see the Franks are the dominant group in what would later become France. But we see in what becomes Germany, we see Hesse, Thuringia, Franconia, and Frisia. And then we see up in Ireland where the Celtic Church came back and reclaimed England for Christianity and then began to launch missions into the mainland. Okay, well, the Franks, they became a force aligned with Christianity after the year 496, when their king, Clovis, became baptized and then brought his entire nation into the church. The Franks enthusiastically advanced the cause of Christianity, but they did it in very much the way armies would in the Dark Ages, and that was they did it with the sword. Now, the monks, who were also evangelizing Europe, employed persuasion and lectures. And one of those was Willibrord. Now, he was a bishop from York in the north of England, and he was the first to begin missionary activities in Frisia. Frisia is what we would call today the Netherlands. And it had been a Christian nation, but it reverted to paganism after the Romans left and when it was conquered by King Radbod, who was very anti-Christian. And Willibrord was forced to retreat to a monastery in Echternach, which is in Luxembourg, during the hostilities when Radbod was in power. Now, these pagan Saxons, they resisted conversion because many wanted to spend heaven with their ancestors. There was recorded one conversation between a missionary monk and a Saxon chieftain, and the Saxon chieftain said, "Well, who will I encounter in heaven? Will my father be there? Will my grandfather be there? And the monk said, no, because they didn't accept the faith. And so then the Saxon said, well, there would be monks like you. And he says, yes. And he says, then I think I don't want to become a Christian yet. So there was this resistance almost along family lines amongst the Saxons, and it was very pervasive. Now, persuasion to understand the message of the gospel was very difficult to express to these tribal people. Now, King Radbod, I mentioned earlier, he had a fierce disdain for Christians, and he resisted until he was defeated in battle by King Charles Martel of the Franks. And when King Radbod died a few years after that, Willibrord returned to work as a missionary to the Frisians. And Willibrord was assisted in these ventures by another volunteer from England named Winfred. That's the man we spoke about at the very beginning of this talk. Now, Winfred, he was eager to begin missionary activity, not just in Frisia, but in the areas of Thuringia and Hesse. And he wanted to support and the authorization to come from Rome. So we went to see Pope Gregory II. And the Pope was delighted that Winfred wanted to be a missionary, and he gave him the task of converting the Germanic tribes. There was a lot of monks that were working for the church, but they weren't necessarily in coordination with each other or with Rome at this time. So the Pope was very delighted that Winfred was going to work closely with him, and he gave him a new name, and he named him Boniface, which means fortunate because he showed up at that particular time, and auspicious because the Pope expected great things to come out of his work. And so he named him Apostle to the Germans. So this is the template that he has to work upon. The Franks are a Christian nation, but they're not too much different in their habits from the Saxons. And then we see Hesse, Thuringia, Saxony, and Frisia all cling stubbornly to their pagan gods. So Boniface traveled to Hesse in central Germany around the year 721, and through his tireless activity, he had a gift for organization and a friendly yet firm character, he achieved great success. And he converted two chieftains, Dedek and Deorulf, and he found that that was a key way to convert larger groups of people, because whoever the chieftains would worship, the people would tend to come along and follow. So then he established Benedictine monasteries amongst the Saxons, and he made monks out of the Saxons, and they continued and expanded his missionary activities to the entire nation. Now, Boniface had an affinity for the Saxons, partly because he himself was descended from Saxons who had immigrated to England less than 200 years later. He writes, "We beg you to be instant in prayer that God and our Lord Jesus Christ may convert the hearts of the pagan Saxons to the faith. Remember them, because they themselves are accustomed to say, 'We are one blood and one bone.'" So Boniface was aided in his travels by the protection offered by King Charles Martel of the Franks. The Pope had requested this protection, so the King Martel, gave Boniface a letter that he could carry around and show to the chieftains that said that he was under the protection of the King of the Franks. And this was important because even though these nations of Saxons acted independently, they were actually under the military control of the Franks. And the entire area of Hesse, where Boniface was preaching, had already been under the Frankish control even before he arrived. So he had protection to go in and preach his cause. And he was quick to make converts throughout Hesse and Thuringia. And whenever a tribal chieftain converted, then many of his subjects would also embrace Christianity. But when Boniface went to other areas to preach, like when he would leave that area and go someplace else, a number of the Saxons would fall away from the faith and revert to pagan practices all over again. So Boniface needed to bring the issue to a turning point, and he sensed his opportunity lay in showing the power of God over the pagan worship sites. And in the village of Geismar, the pagan Germanic tribes worshipped at a huge oak, and this was known as the Thunder Oak. It was dedicated to their god Thor, the god of thunder and lightning. And infant or child sacrifices were conducted annually at this site. So this was very much like the Canaanites in the Holy Land when the Israelites came in. They found child sacrifices going on, and that's what the Saxons were doing here as well. So Boniface approached the Thunder Oak with a small group who were all shaking at the knees, and he had an axe in his hands, and the Saxons just stood motionless watching him as he raised up the axe and began to chop at their holy tree. And after a few good strokes, the wind rose all around him, and the tree was blown around and split into four sections and fell to the ground. And then Boniface, to drive home the point, clutched a small evergreen tree that he chopped down, and he presented it to the pagans. And he said to them, "This little tree, a young child of the forest, shall be your holy tree tonight. It is the wood of peace. It is a sign of an endless life, for its leaves are evergreen. See how it points upward to heaven? Let this be called the tree of the Christ child. Gather about it, not in the wild wood, but in your own homes. There it will shelter no deeds of blood, but loving gifts and rites of kindness." So he made a great contrast between the blood sacrifices they did at the oak and how they should worship God and Christ in their homes with their families and hug their children and love their children, not sacrifice them in the wilderness. So to add further insult to injury, then Boniface instructed all his supporters that came with him to chop up the Thunder Oak into lumber and use it to build a small church on that very site. And so they could not forget what happened there. The action and the message was obvious. The pagan god Thor was not real. He did not defend his sacred oak, but was totally vanquished. And numerous conversions followed quickly in the next few days. Well, for the next 20 years, Boniface and his supporters continued to preach throughout Hesse, Thuringia, and Saxony, and the Pope declared Boniface to be the Archbishop of all of Western Germany. Well, in the year 754, about 20 years later, Boniface and 52 others made arrangements to travel to Frisia, the Netherlands, to baptize a large group that was assembling there. And there was no reason to expect treachery. This had all been arranged. But a ragged gang of pagans came out of nowhere and ambushed the party and killed all, including Boniface. So on June 5th, 754, the mission of Archbishop Boniface came to an end. He implored his supporters to not fight back, but to pray for their assailants. And he held up the Bible that he had in his hands, and a sword was plunged through it. He used that to defend his actions. The attackers then searched through the priest's baggage after they had killed everyone. They were looking for gold vessels and silver plates, but they found only Bibles and written prayers. Now, over the centuries, the remembrance of Boniface faded, but his recommendation of taking the little evergreen tree into people's homes as a symbol of the faith that never fades with the seasons and is evergreen became a standard Christmas tradition throughout the German territories. Now, in the 1800s, the marriage of Prince Albert to Queen Victoria brought the Christmas tree to England. Albert was from Germany, and so he brought that custom right to the royal family of England, and soon all of England had Christmas trees in their houses. And German immigrants to America from the 1830s, 1840s, and later brought their Christmas tree customs with them. So today, America's homes are filled with Boniface's tree at Christmas. St. Boniface, pray for us. His feast day is June 5th. Let us close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you. Thanks for listening.